Father God, we ask that you would open our hearts to this message that you have for us today. That you would awaken within us a desire and a fire to know you more. That your word would take root in our heart. That it would show itself by the way we live, by the things we do, the words we say. Father, we ask your blessing on each one of us as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I'll be reading from the book of Galatians. It's in the New Testament. In your pew Bible, it's on page 191. We're looking at chapter 6 of Galatians. We'll be reading 1 through 16. Chapter 6. My friends, if anyone is defected in a transgression, is detected in a transgression, you have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, and then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at a harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation in everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the God, the Israel of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. We're thankful that we could sow and reap, as Ricardo mentioned, to see the immediate effect of your love. Pray now that as we look into our lectionary reading from the Gospels, that God would sow within us the truth of His Spirit, that it might bear fruit in our lives. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 10. I'll be reading from verse 1 through 12, or 11, sorry. Let's stand for the Gospel lesson. We read here, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place where He Himself intended to go. Remember from last week, Jesus had set His face toward Jerusalem. So He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. You know, there's a terrible story about two young Mormon missionaries, and you may have seen some of the Mormon missionaries who frequent our neighborhoods. They were going door to door, as they are wont to do, and they came to this particular house. I think it was one of these closed communities, because when the woman opened the door and saw these two missionaries, I think she regarded it as an intrusion, so she slammed the door in their face. Well, interestingly enough, almost magically, the door sprang back open. So she was really mad now, so she wound up and slammed the door again, and magically it opened up again. Now she was really getting mad because she thought one of these missionaries had put his foot in the door, you know, the proverbial foot in the door. So this time she was really going to wind up and send that man to the hospital. And as she was ready to wind up to slam the door the third time, the missionary said, ma'am, maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe you ought to remove your cat. Aw, oh, poor Fluffy, huh? Victim of religious persecution, I guess. But I mention that because how many of you remember the day of the Fuller Brush Man? Anybody remember Fuller Brush Man? Sylvia, I'm counting on you. Yes, good. Anybody else remember Fuller Brush Man? There, George, thank you. There's Bill. Yeah, you have to be over a certain age. I don't think I ever actually met one. I think I heard about them. But I do remember the Electrolux vacuum cleaner salesman. Remember, they used to go door to door. And they had an interesting approach. As soon as you opened the door, they had a handful of dirt. And they'd throw it on your carpet and say, ma'am, let me show you how my machine can clean up that dirt. I mean, try to do that today. You'd probably get shot, right? Or get a lawsuit or something. Never get away with that. But those were the days. People went, you know, door to door. We don't see that so much anymore, do we? There are a number of reasons for that, one of which, let's face it, nobody's home anymore during the day, is there? I mean, neighborhoods are empty a lot of the times. Both people are working or they're out somewhere. Then, of course, if you try to come at night, since people are working all day long, they're tired, they don't want an intrusion. Or, as many of you know here in Puerto Rico, the Jehovah's Witnesses are actually getting court orders to enter some of the closed neighborhoods. So some of these closed neighborhoods are very, very resentful of this intrusion. So, I mean, they're opening doors, hopping mad. I mean, you'd be crazy to go door to door today, right? So, at least in one respect, we live in a different world from Jesus' day when he sent his disciples out two by two to towns and villages to go to house to declare that the kingdom of God had come. We live in a different world because personally, I don't believe going door to door and sharing the gospel is probably a very effective strategy these days. I think that cults have kind of ruined it for us to do that. So I believe Jesus would have us develop a different approach of evangelism in our day and age, but that doesn't mean to say that the general principles that existed in Jesus' day don't exist today, because they do. And the first of these timeless principles is the simple fact that people need the Lord, right? Back in Jesus' day, in our day, people need the Lord. And I mention that because, let's face it, there are a lot of people out there who don't have a clue as to what life is all about. I mean, let's face it, their lives are messed up. They don't have any sense of hope. They don't have any sense of direction. Many of them have no sense of community. Many of their personal lives are screwed up with drugs, or they're cheating on their wives, or they're thousands of dollars in debt. I mean, they're like sheep without a shepherd. So many people out there, aren't they? And even some of the people who seem to have it all together, have this veneer of success, so many of them, in the words of Thoreau, are living lives of quiet desperation. You'd be surprised how many of these seemingly altogether people are this close to just packing it in, giving up, ending it all. You'd be surprised. So the fact of the matter is, people need the Lord. That hasn't changed. And Jesus says the fields are white for the harvest. They're ripe for the picking. People are desperate, desperate, desperate for what? Good news. And guess who has the good news? You guessed it. We do. So as much as people pretend to be atheists, as much as people pretend to be too sophisticated for the gospel, too sophisticated or hostile to Christianity, behind that facade are people who really need the Lord. And thus I'm very excited that Debbie Garcia is our new chair of membership, because Debbie has a real heart for the Lord. How many of you don't know Debbie? Debbie, stand up for a second. I'm going to really embarrass her today. I didn't tell her I was going to do this. Okay, Debbie, thank you. You know, Debbie sacrifices her lunchtime at least once a week to walk the streets of Ato Rey and the bus stops to talk to people about the Lord. She asks them, can I pray for you? And she's gotten to know, you know, financial people, successful people, drug addicts, all sorts of people. She talks to them about the Lord, because she has a heart for the lost. And she brings that heart for the lost to our committee of membership. And I'm grateful for that. Because her philosophy and my philosophy is that the greatest thing that we can do for people as a church, locally, universally, is what? Introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with me? Do you share that philosophy? I hope so. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thank God that the Christian church has for centuries fed the hungry, clothed the naked, taken in the orphan, opened up schools, colleges, universities, has been on the forefront of fighting injustice, racism, slavery, inequality of women. I am grateful for the history of the church and what they've done in all of these areas, and may we continue to do them and more. But, and this is an important conjunction, but if that is all we do, and we do not introduce people to Jesus Christ, then let's face it, we're nothing more than a political party that meets on Sunday. Nothing more than a feeding station that happens to cook in a church kitchen. Nothing more than a school that convenes in a sanctuary. Indeed, we are that, but we are more than that, because in addition to that, we are doing the best and most wonderful thing that we can do for a person. We are introducing them to the God of the universe, to the Savior of humanity, to the very hope of eternity. That's what we're doing. How many of you know the old line, you know, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day? If you give him a fishing pool, you feed him for a lifetime? Well, as Christians who introduce people to Jesus Christ, we go one step further. We not only feed them for a day, not only for a lifetime, we feed them and fulfill them for eternity. That's what we do when we lead them to Jesus Christ. So we as a church must never, ever, 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 ever apologize for preaching the gospel. Because God's word clearly says that man does not live by bread alone. Jesus clearly says, what does it profit a man? What does it profit a person if he gains the whole world, gains all the goodies of the world, all the status, all the position of the world that it can give, and loses his soul? What does he gain? I'll tell you what he gains. Nothing. That's what Jesus says. So if you think about that, we could feed the world, we could clothe the world, we could house the world, we could lodge the world. In fact, you know what we could do? We could bring the American dream to the entire world. Let's imagine we could do that. Imagine we found some new source of energy that allowed us to continue to produce at the rate that we're doing, and magnify that so that we could bring the American lifestyle to the entire world, so that even in the darkest recesses of Africa that we learned about this week with the trusters, the poorest of the poor, we could bring them, imagine, The split level in a suburb, with the two-car garage, with the plasma TV in the living room, and with the 2.4 kids in the bedrooms. I don't know about that 0.4 kid, but you know, that's the American dream. Imagine we could bring the American dream to the entire world. What would we have? What would we have done? I'll tell you what, we'd probably have the same sort of miserable, ungrateful, immoral, and messed up people that we have in these United States. I bet we would. Right? Why? Because man does not live by bread alone, but what? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if we don't give them Jesus, we haven't really given them anything of lasting value. It's the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's the expansion of those tiles with the cooler air. So be glad it's cool. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear that. So anyway, I digress. I hope that you know that's true. I hope you believe that's true. Do you believe that's true? That the greatest thing that we can do for a person is to introduce them to Jesus Christ? I hope you believe that. And yet, even though many of us believe that is true, how many of us really act upon it? How many of us really share Christ with others? How many of us make excuses? I read the amusing story of the fellow who would pray every day that, you know, he wanted to share Christ with somebody, and he asked God to put somebody in his path, but Lord, he said, give me a sign. Give me a sign so that I know. So he was on the bus coming back from work, and they do a bus stop, and a big burly guy, a big huge guy, gets onto the bus. And even though the bus is like empty, I mean, this guy is huge. I mean, he's the kind of guy that Southwest would probably sell two seats to. I mean, he's so big. And the bus is empty, and where does he sit? He sits right next to this guy. You know, personal space, dude, personal space. I mean, he just fills the seat. I mean, he's unmistakable. He's there. And this guy is a little bit uncomfortable and can't wait to the fact that the next bus stop is his bus stop. And this guy sits next to him, and as he's sitting there, he starts to blubber. He starts to weep. He starts to cry. He says, my life is a mess. He says, I can't get off drugs. My wife has left me. My kids hate me. He says, Lord, Lord, would you please send someone to tell me about Jesus? And then he turns to this guy who's been looking for a sign. He says, can you tell me about Jesus? And the guy prays to the Lord. He says, Lord, is this a sign? I think that was a sign. We laugh at that guy, but the fact of the matter is, how many of us miss those very opportunities in our lives? Oh God, I want to be an evangelist. Oh God, I know this is true. I know the greatest things ever happened to me is Jesus. I want to tell others, but God puts people right beside us. They're practically begging to know about Jesus. And we change the subject. Talk about the weather. Talk about sports. Talk about the latest of Kim Kardashian. Oh boy. And we don't talk about what's most important. We don't talk about Jesus. Now last week we talked about the fact that delayed obedience is what? Instant disobedience. So often in our Christian life we have to remember that delayed obedience is in fact instant disobedience. And this is no more true than in the area of evangelism, that God puts someone in our life, someone in our path. We know they need to know the Lord. We know that they're asking, and yet we don't tell them, and we delay. We say, I'll tell them tomorrow. I'll wait for another opportunity. We delay. Delayed obedience is instant disobedience, and that's especially true in that situation, because disobedience not only hurts ourselves, but more often than not, it hurts those around us, and that's no more true than evangelism, because if you miss the opportunity at that optimal moment where God has placed them in your presence to lead them to Christ, you may have missed the opportunity of a lifetime. And you've let it pass. And you've kept silent. That's instant disobedience, with possibly eternal consequences. So think about that. But don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you this afternoon to get out your big Bible and go door to door and Bible beat people. I'm not asking you to take on the career of the next Billy Graham to try to fill out stadiums with a public campaign. All I'm asking you to do is to pray like that man prayed. Lord, put someone in my path and show me who to talk to, and then talk to them. Talk to them. In fact, I'm going to give you an assignment this week, okay? This is your homework. Here's the homework. I want you to ask God to lead you to one person this week, to ask them a couple of simple questions. Here's the question. I want you to ask a person, are you interested in spiritual things? I mean, don't just walk up to somebody and say, are you interested in spiritual things? Walk up to them, talk to them, get to know them, befriend them. But at some point in the conversation, say, hey, are you interested in spiritual things? You know what you'll find 9 times out of 10 what people say? Yes, I am. You know why? Because people are sick and tired of talking about nothing, about the weather, about whatever. They want to talk about what's important. And you're asking them, are you interested in spiritual things? Let me hear what you're interested in. And listen to them. Don't feel like you've got to critique them. Don't feel like you've got to theologize. Don't pretend that you've got to correct them. Listen to them. Because 9 times out of 10, if you listen to them, you know what they'll do? They'll listen to you. And all I want you to do is share with them why Jesus is important to you, what Jesus has done in your life. Tell them your story. That's all you need to tell them. You know your story better than anybody. Third thing I want you to do, very simple then, is invite them. Invite them to church. Do you know surveys have found what the percentage is if you ask a friend a relationship and invite them to church? Do you know what the percentage of those who say yes is? 50%. If you ask them 2 or 3 or 4 times, the percentage goes up. Amazing, isn't it? Simple question. In fact, how many of you know the story of Garrison Keillor? Garrison Keillor of Prairie Home Companion? Great radio program, great storyteller. You know? Tiffany knows him. You're from that part of the world, right? Yeah. Well, he grew up in a very tight-knit conservative denomination. And it was rather legalistic and somewhat dull. And as he grew older, he drifted from the church. And people would often come to him and ask him 2 questions. First of all, they ask him, do you go to church? No. And then he would ask him, why not? And he'd explain. And that's all they ever asked him. Do you go to church? No. Why not? And then he'd go into his explanation. He'd give his stock answer. Until one day, a Lutheran friend, and believe it or not, some Lutherans do evangelize, said to him, do you go to church? No. Why not? Gave his reason. And then they asked him a 3rd question. You know what it was? Why don't you come to church with us? Guess what? He did. He went back to church because someone invited him to their church. Now, is that rocket science? Is that really so hard to do? Are you interested in spiritual things? Let me tell you about Jesus. How would you like to come to our church? Jesus says, the fields are white for harvest. People out there need the Lord. People that you talk to every day need the Lord. People who cross your paths every week need the Lord. Sometimes all they need is to be invited to come. Jesus says, the fields are white for harvest, therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might send workers out into the harvest. You know what I pray? I pray that you and I are those workers. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you give us opportunity to be your ambassadors, to be your representative. What an awesome and high calling that is. But Lord, we know that when we represent you, we do not go alone, but your Holy Spirit is with us. And we know that even now, Lord, even before the foundations of the earth, there are people in our lives that you've been working in their hearts ahead of time. So many of them, Lord, are ripe for harvest, ripe to hear someone ask them if they're interested in you. Lord, give us the boldness and the compassion to find those people out and to share Christ with them. Show us that this, Lord, is a joy and an adventure, not a burden. Show us, Lord, that the greatest satisfaction that we can know in life is to witness another person come in relationship with you. Lord, call us to be faithful workers in the vineyard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.